You know, I think you're taking a lot of responsibility here.
A person should take responsibility for what they are responsible for.
Yeah, but you are so convinced for many years in your theories, you obviously don't see an existential danger to Israel.
There is a danger. It's posing a danger to itself.
You see it only from that. You're asking Israeli government to take a risk. You're saying, I'm going back to the nuclear issue because...
Well, let's take the nuclear issue.
Okay.
There's a way to...
What if you're wrong? That's what I'm asking.
Look, you have to make judgments on the basis of your best assessment of the facts available. So that there's no...
But shouldn't we learn from history? There were voices before the World War who didn't take Hitler that serious, and history unfortunately proved us wrong. How can you be so sure that Ahmadinejad is not going to wipe Israel
of
the government?
You can't be sure, so therefore what you should do is take steps to mitigate the threat to the extent that it exists. The obvious step to take to mitigate the threat is to move towards instituting a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Middle East region.
Okay.
That will mitigate the threat.
That is
now,
the threat.
Excuse me, that's important. Now, Israelis who don't want to do that are harming Israel.
But in your eyes, you're quite sure that there is no immediate threat on Israel.
Right now,
from outside of Israel. The threat is inside.
I think Israeli...
But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and people are using your argument to have the international community look the other way?
Suppose those who claim there's a threat are wrong, and in fact, by making that claim, they're harming Israel. Yeah, that's perfectly possible. In fact, it's true. So whatever position you take, there's a possibility that it's wrong. If you have the interests of Israel at heart, then what you would want to do is reduce the possibility of any nuclear threat in the region. And there is an immediate way to do that, which is supported virtually by the entire world, and that is to move towards establishing a nuclear weapons-free zone.
So let's
do that. Well, Israel's refusing, and the United States is refusing. Now, they repeat the words. They say, oh, yes, nice idea. But they say, we can't do it until there's a comprehensive peace settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's saying we can't do it, period. Now, what's blocking a comprehensive peace settlement? Well, we know the answer. The United States and Israel are opposed to the world on a political settlement on the international border, with maybe along the lines of the Taba negotiations, which would lead to a comprehensive peace settlement. Everyone in the world is supporting that. Now, by opposing that,
You
Israel
say everyone in the world, and then you go on. It is questionable. People, it's not that sure that the Palestinians can go through with this agreement. They have the Hamas on one hand, they have the Fatah.
I'm just saying, look, every relevant actor is in favor of this. Now, Israel and the United States are not only opposed to it in words, they're blocking it in deeds. Furthermore, international law is in favor of it.
Okay, that's of course your opinion.
No, it's not my opinion. That's where the occupied territories, Israeli actions in the occupied territories with U.S., crucial U.S. backing, are first of all illegal. Israel recognized that in 1967. They're illegal. And they're harmful.
Well, unfortunately, we can't solve that problem. We can agree, though, it's a complex situation. It's not black and white. But I understand that while your parents were alive, you were more cautious in making those arguments against Israel.
I don't make arguments against Israel. Arguments for Israel.
For Israel, okay. Making these arguments for Israel, as you say. Was it a factor? I mean, was it hard for you? Because...
I was unhappy about the fact that they were subjected to a series of tantrums from hysterics in the United States. But I said the same things, and in fact, they approved them.
So when in Israel they consider you to be someone who is harming Israel, does it hurt you personally?
Who considers
I mean, the public opinion, I mean...
The public opinion is reading what you're presenting to them.
But I'm asking, does it offend you personally? Are you upset that that is the portrayal
like
of you?
I'm upset by the fact that people in other countries in the world think I'm the greatest danger to their country.
Is it tiring?
Tiring?
Yeah.
I expect it. Any dissident and critic can anticipate that they're going to be subjected to hysterical tirades. If you're a Soviet dissident, did you expect to be treated nicely? In fact, do you think of a dissident in any country who's treated nicely? Let's go back in history. Let's take Israel, okay? You go back to the Bible. You studied the Bible, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In the Bible, there is someone who's called a hater of Israel, the prophet Elijah. King Ahab, you know, the epitome of evil in the Bible.
So in a way you see yourself as a
I'm
prophet?
I'm not saying that. No. I'm seeing the prophets as intellectuals.
So it's your life mission, and therefore even
It's not my life's mission. It's the mission of any decent human being. Well, take Elijah or Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of them. Were they treated nicely? No, they were treated very badly. Elijah was called a hater of Ocher Israel, hater of Israel. Centuries later, he was honored, but not at the time. There were people who were honored at the time. Centuries later, they're called false prophets. Centuries later.
I'm laughing because that was my next question. How do you think history will judge you?
That's up to history. It depends who wins.
And the Jewish history.
It depends who wins the battles.
If you had taken the other path in the 1950s and stayed in Israel, where would you think we would find you?
I would be with my friends in Israel who say the same thing. And you can read them in the press every day.
And if you wouldn't live in the States, where would you live?
If I wouldn't?
Anywhere else. 5 years ago, you were asked the question.
I was asked the question in an interview in Haaretz. And I said, well, I'd certainly go to Israel. Now I wouldn't say that. It's changed in the last few years. It's changed in ways which are extremely harmful to the country. You can see it harming itself day after day. It's in a mood of, not the whole country, but leading sectors, including the government, are in a mood of paranoia and irrationality, which is harming the country very seriously. I mean, you know, my own case is so trivial, it doesn't matter, but just take this trivial case. If the Ministry of Interior had not refused entry, and I'd gone to give a talk,
we wouldn't have,
it would be the end of it. Nobody would ever heard of it, just as nobody heard of other talks I've given in Brussels. But that's minor. On the other hand, purposely humiliating the Turkish ambassador, that's not minor. Take, say, the reaction to the Goldstone report, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Israel has turned it into an international incident. If Israel had acted rationally, they would have responded to the Goldstone report by saying, thank you, Mr. Goldstone, for your careful work. Thank you particularly for giving us a great gift, as he did. If you're concerned about the safety of Israel, you should be concerned about these matters, because in case after case, the irrationality and the paranoia is very harmful and destructive. And in the long term, it could lead to very serious consequences.
Professor Noam Chomsky, thank you very much. Toda rabah. Shalom. Toda rabah.